Welcome to This Week in Sports with D'Angelo Richardson. D'Angelo Richardson is a personal trainer, fitness influencer, and athlete. Not to mention, he has an encyclopedic knowledge of sports. In each episode, D'Angelo will break down and explain the most intriguing sports stories from basketball to football, soccer to hockey, baseball to Formula One. D covers it all. So be in to know now. I'm Dave List, D's sidekick. Today in this episode, D will detail his thoughts about the NCAA's men's and women's basketball tournament, preview up the upcoming Champions League semifinals with Chelsea, Real Madrid, and PSG, Manchester City. He will also give his thoughts on the upcoming Major League Baseball season and preview the upcoming NBA playoff picture. Welcome, D.
Hey, Dave. How are you?
Good, thank you. So, D, give us the highlights of the recently concluded men's and women's NCAA basketball tournament.
So, yes, March Madness just came to an end, which, for those who don't know, is college basketball. The first winner was the women's Stanford. Side note, one of my friends is on the team. Her name is Cameron Brink. She's a freshman. She's 6'3". She's tall as heck and really good. Anyway, she did a great job, and I was proud of her, so I just wanted to put that in there. Stanford was one of the best teams all year. I think they were pretty much number one for most of the year. It's no surprise that they took it all the way. And so congrats to them. Congrats to the committee to put that together. They had all the games in one location in San Antonio for the women's tournament. And so I can only give kudos to make this tournament happen. As on the men's side, we had Baylor men's team win the NCAA championship. And once again, Baylor, along with Gonzaga, was considered one of the two best teams in the country even before the season started. So it was no surprise that they ended up meeting in the championship game where Baylor just dominated Gonzaga. I think Gonzaga was a worthy number one seed and one number one team. I thought Baylor was the best team all year. The only reason why they weren't number one is because they had a COVID issue during the middle of the season. It took them like 2 weeks to get back on track. But ever since they got back on track, they were just riding roughshod over their conference and all the way to the championship.
Tell us about the Masters. What are the highlights and who won?
Biggest thing I wanted to highlight about the Masters was that Hideki Matsuyama won the Masters, the first Japanese male winner in the country's history. I know, just considering everything that had been going on with violence and hate crimes towards the Asian community, to have this soft-spoken but long-time professional golfer win the Masters, but also be the first Japanese male to win it, is very worthy of mentioning, and just a big congratulations to him as well. He did it with class. And he made his country proud, I'm sure.
How have your bets been going? What have you learned?
So I think maybe one or two times ago when we last did this podcast, we were talking about how I had just had trouble controlling myself, getting a little frustrated with bets and everything like that. You learn over time. It was my first time ever doing any kind of sports betting. But I learned a couple of trades to build up my bankroll. And the bankroll is like the amount of money you have to bet on sporting events and everything. What I learned is that you just want to bet like percentages of what your bankroll is. So even if you have $50, you want to bet 1% of that. So they tell you bet one unit or bet two units. And when that just means 1% or 2%. So the goal is to build long-term profit, not short-term profit, because you can maybe put a big amount of money on one particular event and make a bunch of money, but you can also do the same thing and then lose, and then you have nothing. And so the best way to do it in the long term is just to make tiny little bets here and there. For me, I'm only betting $3 to $5 on certain things, unless I'm like really positive about something, really confident in something. Maybe I'll put 5 to 10 on it, but I'll never go higher than that. And so that's done a great deal for me as far as just building my bankroll slowly but surely, and just always continuously having some money to put down. And also, you're able to withdraw that money. So for example, an emergency comes up, I have these funds here that are just building up over time, and I can withdraw from them if I have an emergency or whatever. So just that slow burn is the best way to go about it. So if you ever get interested in sports betting, the sports book is still, obviously, it's legal in Virginia. Not all states are legalized, but it's definitely something that you have to be responsible about and disciplined about, but can be really fun if you have that, I guess, keep yourself in boundaries. So I think that's the biggest thing, is having boundaries, betting small percentages of your money.
I think that must be a really hard thing to do, because we all have moments where we feel like we're in a sure thing.
True. I get that. I used to get that too. I think what I do, I'm getting deep into the weeds. I bet on trends. Like if I see a trend, like I'll do eye betting. So you can bet on things before the game starts. But then as you're watching the game, if you know there's something, if you see something trending towards one way, for example, in basketball, you can bet on totals, like game totals. So like total amount of points scored combined by each team. And so let's say teams are like scoring at an incredible pace, and they're going to be well over 100 points each, the game total will mimic the pace of it. And so it always keep adjusting. So if you notice, and if the teams you're looking at have a history of scoring a bunch of points, the chances are that pace is going to continue and they're going to get the over on whatever the game total is. So you can bet that way too. You have to know your teams to do that. So obviously I'm a big basketball fan, so I can track who is the most consistent with scoring a bunch of points, no matter who they're playing, but also who has bad defense and who gives up a lot of points too. You have to work both ends of it and just look at the trend of the game itself, because every game is going to be different. And so those live bets are where I can put most money in, because if I see it absolutely trending towards one way, I'll put a bunch of money on. I'll put $10 on. Okay, they're going to get way over 206 total points in this game. Something like that. So that's more in the trenches. So I wouldn't advise that unless you know what you're doing.
I didn't realize you could continue to bet on the game once the game is in play.
Yep.
You can. Did not know that.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
Huh. Do you give our listeners a preview of the upcoming Champions League semifinals with Chelsea, Real Madrid, and PSG, Manchester City?
Yeah, so quarterfinals just concluded this past week. PSG beat Bayern 3-3 on aggregate with away goals being the tiebreaker. Chelsea beat Porto 2-1 aggregate. Madrid beat Liverpool 3-1 aggregate. And then Manchester City beat Dortmund 4-2 aggregate. So as far as preview goes, it'll be Chelsea versus Real to start, and they've really stepped it up another gear during the knockout rounds. Real Madrid has, and Chelsea is such a young team with people like Mason Mount, Werner, Christian Pulisic, which is the American on Chelsea squad. They're going to be under a lot of pressure in their US semifinal games, and you have to combat that with Real Madrid's midfield trio, Modric, Cruz, and Casemiro, and having experience of Benzema, who scored 58 goals in 109 European games for Real Madrid. Like, the experience is on Madrid's side. You have to love the spunkiness that Chelsea has. When it comes to PSG, they have the benefit of reaching last season's final, obviously, and they lost to Bayern Munich in that championship game last year, and they got the revenge by knocking them out in the quarter round this year. And then Manchester City overcame their quarterfinal jinx to beat Dortmund 2-1 in both legs and reached the stage for just the second time in their history. So there's just a lot of excitement there. So I think I'm going to lean towards Real Madrid over Chelsea to advance to the final concerning the aggregate and everything. I really like PSG though against Manchester City. Mm-hmm. I think you have Neymar and Mbappe, and you can go down the list with just the studs that they have, and I just think they're going to be too much. So I really do expect to see PSG against Madrid when it comes to it in the UEFA Champions Finals. We'll see what happens. The first semifinal games will be April 27th. So we got today, we're recording this on the 16th, so we got about a little over a week before we get there. But looking forward to the semifinal matches, no matter who wins.
And when will the finals be?
I think it is. It's May something. I forgot the date.
Okay.
It's May for sure.
Looking at the recently started Major League Baseball season, who are your favorites and what are your thoughts about the season so far?
So yeah, the MLB season is about 13 or 15 games. Obviously, baseball plays in series. So like you play team maybe 3 or 4 times and then move on. So teams have only had the chance to play maybe 2 or 3 different squads. So it's really hard to come with any long-term prediction or stone-cold thoughts about anything outside of just the Dodgers being a great, like they've only lost 2 games so far, and just how deep they are, the defending champions, there's definitely a reason why they're the favorites. But what I wanted to talk about with MLB was just talking about the milestones that they've had in regards to racial and gender hires and things like that. So in November 2020, the Miami Marlins hired Kim Ng And she's the first woman to serve as a general manager of an MLB team in history, and the first among any late,
Wow.
yeah, and the first among many any major league professional men's team in North American sports since the San Jose Clash of the MLS Major League Soccer hired Lynn Mather-Pearl in 1999. So as far as this hire goes, Kim's hire may be the most important diversity hire in recent MLB history. And then in December of 2020, MLB said it was officially correcting a long-term oversight in the game's history, and it recognized the Negro League as a major league caliber players by including their statistics and their records a part of MLB history. That used to be separate. They used to keep the Negro League statistics separate from just Major League itself. And so for them to recognize those Negro League players as worthy and combine their history, I think was huge and long overdue. And then,
Does
go
that
ahead. Sorry, go ahead.
mean that they'll go into the Hall of Fame?
They're
Are
still
there?
able to make the Hall of Fame. It's just that their stats would not count, like as far as the record books go. In February, the Braves formed the Hank Aaron, for those who follow baseball, fellowship program in honor of the late Hank Aaron. Like Jackie Robinson, Aaron was a trailblazer for black baseball players. And one of the greatest to ever play the game, obviously. He was a true champion for diversity and equality, and he carried that with him even after his playing career as an executive with the Braves. So this fellowship creates a pathway allowing participants to get experience working in the front office, to open up diversity opportunities for in those positions for people who and for people in communities who may have not had the opportunity previously. And then on the club side, just on the baseball side, historic diversity milestones were also achieved. One of the organizations leading the way was the Boston Red Sox. After ridding the club of part of its racist past in 2018, they had a street named Yawkey Way, and I'll let people look that up why that has was controversial. They named it back to Jersey Street, and the Red Sox hired a Bianca Smith in January as the first black female coach. Professional base,
Wow.
yep, just a position coach in professional baseball history. And Smith is one of 22 women who are either on-field coaches or in player development roles in MLB this season. So just want to give a shout out to MLB for bridging the gap a little bit and taking some proactive and long overdue changes.
That's pretty amazing. What are your expectations for the upcoming NBA season and your playoff picks? Maybe a little early, but.
Yeah, we're about a month away. I think the regular season ends May 16th. Again, we're on April 16th as we record this. And so, like last year, the NBA is including the play-in tournament. So, which means seed 7 through 10 in each conference, the West and Eastern Conference, they will have a play-in tournament. So, for example, 7, 8, 9, 10 will play. And whoever wins between, so 7, 8 will play nine. Sorry, excuse me. Let me rephrase this. The seventh seed and the eighth seed will play against each other, okay? And then the ninth seed and the tenth seed will play against each other. So the seventh and eighth seeds, whoever wins that game is automatically in the playoffs. They don't have to play another game.
Oh.
But the loser of the if the loser of the seventh, eighth game has to play the winner of the ninth and tenth game, and whoever wins that game will get the last spot. The ninth and tenth seeds have to win two games to get to the playoffs. The seventh and eighth seeds only have to play once. But the benefit of being seventh or eighth is that you only have to win once to get to the next, to get into the actual
Oh, I
playoff
see.
picture, while 9 and 10 have to win twice. So it just brings a new wrinkle. It
Wow.
allows teams to who might tank and who might otherwise not have a chance at the playoffs. Usually it's only 8 spots, so they're opening up 2 extra spots. Usually teams who might be on the fringes of it, of the 8 seed, and are nowhere near close, they might tank and rest players or sit players and try to get a better draft pick. But this gives incentives for teams who maybe are on that 13th, 12th, 11th spot, who are close to that 10th spot and have a chance to get into this play-in tournament. So it just allows for more competitive games as the season ends. So right now in the West, we have Dallas as the 7th seed, Memphis as the 8th seed, Golden State Warriors 9th seed, and San Antonio the 10th seed. And the East is Miami, the Miami Heat, the Charlotte Hornets, Indiana Pacers, and Chicago making up the 10th seed. So that'll be interesting to look out for. But as far as the top of the playoff picture is concerned, there's injuries, big injuries with the Lakers and the Nuggets. The Lakers obviously were without LeBron James for about 3 more weeks. He has a high ankle sprain injury, so he's been out for maybe a little bit around a month now, I would say. And then the Nuggets recently just lost their star point guard, Jamal Murray, with a torn ACL for the rest of the season. So that's a big, tough pill to swallow for the Nuggets, who because Jamal Murray was a stud point guard. He's been playing consistent star level basketball all year. And a solid number two to Nikola Jokic, who is the front runner for MVP, plays with the Nuggets. And while they're still a great team, the Nuggets, their title hopes definitely took a hit. With the Lakers, again, LeBron coming back in about 3 weeks. Anthony Davis, who was dealing with Achilles tendonitis, he's been out for months, is on his way to returning after trying to take care of that Achilles issue. And the Lakers, without those two stars, have really done a good job of staying above float while their two stars were out. They've been about 500, so they've won about half of their games with those team with their top two players out, and it's allowed them to stay above water in the Western Conference. They're down to the fifth seed, but a lot of people thought they might get down to where they would be in the position in the playing games themselves and maybe the seventh or eighth seed. But because of how well the bench has played and the role players have stepped up, they look like they're pretty much safe in the playoff picture. And no matter what seed they are, you have LeBron James and Anthony Davis, they're definitely going to be the favorites in the West, with Utah and Phoenix maybe being on that second tier. But I would favor the Lakers right now. In the East side, you have the three teams, I think, and that's it, is the Brooklyn Nets, the Milwaukee Bucks, and the Philadelphia 76ers. I could see any of those three teams making a run to the finals. I honestly, it just comes down to health. The Nets have some health issues with James Harden having a hamstring issue, Kevin Durant coming back from hamstring issue himself. So it just comes down to health. Embiid, Joel Embiid, who plays for the 76ers, another MVP candidate, he just came back from with a knee issue. So it just depends on health, depending on, and Giannis on Milwaukee. Like, all those three teams have had injuries to their biggest stars. And so it's hard to predict who's gonna come out without knowing whose health is going to be what. So it depends on health, but I would feel pretty safe in saying it'll be one of those three teams coming out of the East and to take it to the NBA final. So we'll see where it goes in a month from now.
That's pretty comprehensive.
We don't follow it, you know, super closely. Just trying to give them a little.
I think that's fantastic. And congratulations to you and your friend at Stanford.
Yeah,
that's
amazing. Shout out to Cameron Brink. Look her up. Follow her on Instagram and Twitter if you have Twitter. She's a beast. She's only a freshman. She's going to be a star. And you're going to hear about her.
Did she get much
playing time? She started. Oh, yeah, yeah. She worked out. She's really good friends with, like, Steph Curry and his family. They basically grew up with each other. She got some training from one of the best there is, so I'm definitely a fan of her and wishing her the best. So I just wanted to make sure I gave her a shout out.
Yeah, I have to keep up with that, see what happens with her.
Absolutely.
Thank you, Dee. Thank you for listening. And please contact davidmliss@gmail.com to let us know what you'd like to learn about the latest in sports news, health, fitness, and wellness. We look forward to having you listen again soon. Bye.